Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and salutations, and how are you all today? We're so glad you listen. We appreciate that. This is Metaphysical Hors d'oeuvres, and I am your host, Ellen Hartwell. Don't forget, you know what I'm going to say. Wash your hands, wear a mask, be careful, okay? Vaccinated or not. God, that's an unpopular stance these days, but I can't just be a sheeple. Anyway, take care of yourselves and your loved ones, please. I want to introduce to you my rather amusing and wonderful friend and extraordinary co-host, John Warren. How are you today?
Oh, I'm really good. How are you, Ellen?
I am fabulous. I am excited about this journey we call life. And even though there's some white river rafting, and even though there's some issues to deal with as we go along, I'm just excited to be here. These are extraordinary times, John, if you ask me.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. It's fascinating times. And speaking of masks, I will just say, there's nothing wrong with keeping a mask on. I don't understand the pushback. Get a vaccine. And I don't care if it's unpopular or not. Logic dictates, if you're still indoors, there's a new variant that's spreading all over the place. Take care of yourself. We want you here. We need you listening to this show going forward, so don't get sick.
Amen.
You can wear a mask
brother.
Indoors. It won't kill anybody.
No.
And it might
and
cover
you know,
up
I hear
some,
people
some
say,
things you want
to... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say it may cover up a chin or two. You never know. What the hell?
Well, and exactly. And not only that, but, well, I have a right to breathe. Yes, you do. And a mask will make sure you don't get anything that makes it difficult to breathe. I mean, it's common sense. Okay, John, this is not what this show is about. So we're going to
it's not what this show is about, but Alan, can I just interject here? No one is taking away anyone's right to breathe. If you cannot breathe through a cloth mask, something much bigger is wrong with you. There. That is not what this show is about. Let's move on. You're right. This show is about.
Yes, you might notice, dear listeners, that John and I are rather passionate about such topics. Why? Because we want to be safe and we want you to be safe. So that's the deal anyway. Today's topic is falling in love. Now, most of us have fallen in love, and most of us have fallen out of love, and there's unrequited love, and there's all kinds of love. There's agape love, brotherly love. There's that when you're in love with someone, you can't really describe it, but it's a wonderful, rather joyous feeling. And we talk to people all day long, John, about love, and well, he or she did this, and she or he did that, and whatever. And, you know, we say frequently, okay, it's not that it's storybook and, you know, unicorns jumping over rainbows, but love shouldn't hurt. Love shouldn't be abusive or unkind or insensitive. So really pay attention to that. It's important to understand that. Now, I just learned it recently, but anyway, yes. Love doesn't hurt, ladies and gentlemen. So keep that in mind. But today's topic, falling in love, most of us have had the experience of falling in love with somebody and falling out of love with somebody. What happens when we fall in love? Well, fall, it's an interesting expression, to fall in love. We feel a little bit ungrounded at first. We feel a little bit probably elated, a little bit blissful. It's like, whoa, what a rush, man. It's a wonderful feeling to recognize, ooh, I'm in love. What a delicious feeling. But how do we fall in love? I personally, except with very rare exceptions, I do not believe in love at first sight. I believe in lust at first sight. But I don't believe in love at first sight. Does it happen? Yes. That's a whole other topic, and that's about soul recognition. We're not going there right now. So, in general, love at first sight is actually lust at first sight. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with lust. But how does the in love part come along? Well, we get to know that person. We find out that she loves flowers, or she loves to help the elderly, or she's got a great sense of humor, or she's a fabulous cook, or he is just so sweet and caring and supportive, or she is so intelligent and he is so intelligent. Whatever, the character comes in, the integrity comes in. We start to admire that person. We start to respect that person. We start to trust that person, and that, with the chemistry and spending time together, we get to know our beloved, and we fall in love with that person. And it's a wonderful feeling. But I pose the question, how do you fall in love with someone you can't see and you don't know? Well, you have to get to know someone or something to be in love. I'm in love with my dog in the sense of I just think he's the best thing on 4 feet. We use the word love rather cavalierly. I love chocolate. I do love chocolate. I love reading a good book. I love pole dark. I love working out in my yard. I love talking to John. I love doing this show. Okay, we all say that rather casually. But to fall in love, it is my theory, my information, my experience, we have to know someone to truly be in love with them. So how can I say with every bit of truth I can muster, I'm in love with the God of my understanding? You don't know God. You don't see God. You don't experience God. I mean, God is spirit. God is infinite love, infinite intelligence, first cause, whatever you want to call God, the God of your understanding. You don't know God. We're using God for shorthand, because my God is not exclusionary. So how can you be in love, Ellen, with someone, something, some energy, some spirit that you don't know? Well, I do know. And how do I know God? Well, I don't fully, but every day I try to know God a little bit better. I try to see God in my fellow humans and animals, in the beautiful planet we live in, on. And I try to see God to get to know God better. And the more I see God in what my eyes can see and what my faith tells me, the more I fall in love with God, because God is real to me. And avoiding anthropomorphism here, but God to me is this incredibly vast, limitless energy of creation. The imagination that I attribute to God, I mean, think about it. Just look out your window. I mean, the diversity is breathtaking. What kind of intelligence and imagination constantly creating beautiful things for us to look at. Who does that? Well, the God of my understanding does that. So I am in love with God's creativity. I am in love with God's imagination. I am in love with God's consistent presence. There's no come here, go away. There's no he didn't call me. There's no I'm leaving you for another man or another woman. No, it is a consistent presence that is buoyant. There's a buoyancy to that presence. There's a love, yes, but there's a sense of being encapsulated by something so amazing, so wonderful, so breathtakingly beautiful that words fail me. But I know I love that energy. I know I love the integrity, the character, the creation aspect. I love the God of my understanding, and I fall in love just a little bit more every day. And a day that I haven't seen God in something, in a circumstance, in a person, in a sunset or a sunrise, in a beautiful flower blooming, whatever, is a lost day to me. And so if I've had a day where, jeepers, I've been so busy working and cleaning and doing whatever the heck it is I do, that I didn't recognize God, I stop, I go, oh my, where has my head been? And I start thinking about all the wonderful things I attribute to the God of my understanding, and there's an upsurge of love. I'm sorry I didn't pay a lot of attention to you today, God. Forgive me, and let's just have a little chat here. Let's have a little sit down, and I talk to God, and I imagine what comes back to me. And sometimes what comes back to me seems so elevated that I don't even understand it, but I know it has meaning. I know I'll get it someday, and I'm in love with the mystery of God. Do I know God? Yeah, a little bit. And a little bit more every day. So I'm more in love with the God of my understanding today than I was yesterday. You cannot fall in love with something or someone you do not know. You can have a sense of it. You can have a, ooh, what's that? But to really fall in love, you must know. And to know is to be curious, to investigate. Where am I going to find you today? What am I going to see differently today that makes me love you more today? What is that? And I keep looking at that, at ways to get to know the God of my understanding, much like you would get to know your lover, your partner, your spouse more today. What can I find out about you today, lover of mine, that I didn't know yesterday? How exciting to be in this relationship and to just be so in love with you and discover more about you every day, and of course vice versa. That's being in love. That's being excited about knowing you even more today. It's excited about getting closer to you today. I'm excited about understanding just a little bit more about the God that I love and that I am in love with. And what happens then? You start looking into all of that, and guess what comes up? You know what I'm going to say. The authentic self, because it is the authentic self living within you that does not doubt, does not have fear, does not any of that. It just is, I am. Just I am. That's the authentic self. And that I am, that unity with God that the authentic self has, is palpable when you reach it. Now, most of us are onions. I know I am. There are a lot of layers before I get to that. But I recognize it when I get to it. And the authentic self is the part of me that I can say, yeah, I'm in love with myself. I can't say I love myself, no. But I can say I am in love with the authentic self, that self that does not doubt, that self that is so full of faith that the roof could fall in and I could say, well, I know there's a reason for that. Now, I didn't mean any slam against the tragedy in Miami, and we're praying for those people and treating for them, of course. Just hideous thing there. But things can happen, and the authentic self is unmoved. The authentic self knows that somehow we're just going to move through this. We're going to get through this. We're going to get through somehow, because the authentic self has a faith that is unshakable, and I am in love with that. I am in love with that. When I get little glimpses of, I shall not be moved, my faith is unshakable, and that vibration is so high that it's just beautiful, and I'm in love with it. Am I in touch with that all the time? Of course not. I stub my toe and cuss just like you do. And I put my pants on one leg at a time just like you do. But I am aware a little more every day of the unity that is always there with God, whether I recognize it, feel it, see it, hear it, or not. Because the authentic self is in constant communication with Spirit. And that constant communication, if I get in that loop, almost like I'm listening in on a phone conversation, with permission, of course, it's almost like I'm listening into this exchange of energy, ideas, love, affection, fondness, interest, curiosity, that loop. And when I get in that loop, I never feel alone. I never feel horrible and hideous. I just go, ooh, this is such a nice moment. Thank you. May I be aware of more moments like that. Because the more moments like that that I have, the more in love I am with this known entity that I call God. You can call it whatever you want. But I call that God Holy Spirit. I call that Mother, Father, God. I call that Source. And the more I am in communication with my authentic self, which is always in communication with Source, the more I am in love with God, the more I am sure, the more I am persuaded that I am more than what I think I am and more capable than I think I am and a better manifester than I think I am. You've heard it 1,000 times. The higher the vibration, the quicker the manifestation. And when I am in that loop of my authentic self in constant communication with the God of my understanding, my manifestations come more quickly because I doubt. I don't know about you, but I doubt. And I have fears and worries and concerns and upsets and trials and tribulations, just like everybody else does. I'm no guru here. I don't have this figured out, but what am I doing? I am practicing being in touch with my authentic self that is in complete unity with the God of my understanding. And when I'm in that loop, I am just blissfully, foolishly in love with the God of my understanding. Why is that important? Because the more I am in love with God, the more my faith increases and the faster my manifestations are. I don't want to fall in love with God because I'm such a fabulous person. I want to fall in love with God because I find it fascinating and interesting and exciting, and also because I want my manifestations to come in, of course. So do you. It's okay. So that's why falling in love with your partner is so important. It's such a great experience. Falling in love with the God of your understanding is that good and then some, and I highly recommend it. So go fall in love with your authentic self, the God of your understanding. Go for it. You'll be amazed at the gems you find when you put yourself on that journey. You are listening to Metaphysical Hors d'oeuvres. I'm Ellen Hartwell, your host. We'd love to hear from you, John and I. Go to our website, ellenhartwell.com. You can reach either one of us there. Thank you so much for listening. Okay, John, let her rip, tater chip. John? Oops, I don't think we have John.
Hi.
Oh, dear.
No, you do have me. Hello, you have me.
Hi,
I muted you while you were talking, and then I forgot to unmute you. See how that works?
No, I see how that works.
Now you are. I am unmuted.
I'm glad you're unmuted because I want to know what you have to say.
I want to know what I have to say too. We have that in common, Ellen.
Oh, good.
So, love is a topic. You know, it is the grand metaphysical topic, and. You know, Ellen, I say this over and over again on this show, and I think, you know, you covered what in a way would be called agape love, you know, the great union, the great unconditional connection to the thing that created us, whatever you want to call it, Holy Spirit, the universe, God, the thing that is there. And can you hear my repeating, Ellen? I can hear feedback. It's
no,
throwing me off a little bit.
I don't hear repeating. No. I don't hear
okay.
an echo, John. No.
Okay. Let me try again. I want to get warmed up into this. I hate not. Can you mute maybe? Because that's making me crazy.
Okay, I'll mute.
Thanks. Let's see if that works. Okay. Here we go. Yes, it's gone. Thank you. Whatever that was, it's gone now. I presume I can still be heard. You know, Ellen, I was going to say is the topic of love. What you were largely talking about, from what I gleaned, was the agape love and the love of communion, the word love that comes out of the communion, the kind of love that comes out of the communion with your consciousness, my consciousness, and that thing that created us. And that is agape love. That is the final goal. And honestly, this is the thing that's important here. It is literally the fuel. And I repeat this over and over again every week on this show. It is, people come to metaphysics, and it would be lovely It's important to stay away from the paradigm of bad people becoming good, or we are trying to be better at something. You're already good. There's no that's already done. And there is no good metaphysics in goodness. And I'm going to say this. The power of positive thinking is a really important concept, and it's useful because it's helpful, but it's a tool. It's not an end. It's not the end game here. What we're doing here is evolving, and how almost everyone I have ever met, actually everyone I've ever met, there isn't a person I've met that doesn't come at it this way, is because they wake up one morning and go, I want, and they fill in the blank. Whatever that is, I want to get better. I want to feel better. I want to lose weight. I want more money. I want another partner. I mean, I want a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a lover. I want a new car. I want to have a closer, and this is also an I want. Buddha, who talks about desirelessness, talks about this. It's not really about desirelessness, because even in that is a desire to be unified, to reach nirvana, to be enlightened. I want to be enlightened is still a want. Love, and why it's such an important topic, and why I wish the English language had more than a few words for this. You know, I say that the people in the far north have 1,000 words for snow because there are so many varieties of snow. I don't, you know, we need to have more than 1,000 words for love, because the love that we're talking about, in particular on this episode, is many splendid, is that a word? Many splendid has so many different varieties that we need different words for it. But I want a communion, a greater communion with that which created me, which is just simply a practice, and do whatever you need to do. Ellen talks about having conversations. I have a very friendly and easygoing conversation with that power that I cannot see, taste, hear, feel, or touch. At times, I just sit still. Some people call that meditation. It doesn't actually get me in connection with God, the God of my understanding, but it clears away the rough. It's like weeding the garden. It just gets rid of a lot of the random thoughts when I do that, and that allows for a greater communion. That kind of an experience of love is, I don't know how to put it, fuel. I want to say the fuel. It is. The Buddha actually says joy is the defining characteristic of the universe. That's a quote that I read that is attributed to the Buddha. Jesus says, you know, I think love, charity, and hope, whatever. The greatest of these is love. Is, you know, he points out that love is the greatest of these. And it is for many reasons, but I think it's because it's the accelerant of your conscious evolution. Here, I will repeat that again, because that's probably the most important thing I'm going to say in this 10, 12 minutes. Because love is the accelerant of your conscious evolution. Meaning, when you are in the state of love, will you change things? Can you manifest stuff out of fury and anger and all sorts of lower vibrations? Yeah, you are. I've done it. I did it recently with the cable company and manifested something I didn't want, because I was coming at it from condescension and anger and frustration and impatience, which I practiced. I got there via practice. I have a lot of practice at that. But the practice now, which is much more often in my life, is the practice of patience and expansion and love and the manifestation for what I truly want, not the things I don't want, because you're going to manifest anyway. If you're listening to this, you're manifesting. You manifested listening to this show. You are doing that in connection with the power that loves you so much, it allows you to make bad decisions. It loves you so much that it's going to keep on loving you until you get this, that you can live an expansive, amazing life, this lifetime or the next one or the time after that, whenever you want to. And the accelerant in that, the fuel for that, the fundamental and the best fuel for that, the rocket to the moon fuel for that is love, agape love. I can talk about romantic love too. I think romantic love has its place. If you've never been in love, please go out and do it. Make that on your list of things I want to manifest, falling in love. the annihilating, amazing, almost sick feeling of bliss that will come and go. I highly recommend it. It is one of my favorite experiences in my life. It really is true. Those who have loved and lost are, you know, it is better to have loved and lost than never loved at all. If you haven't done it yet, do it. But it's not the agape love. It's not the same thing as the love of communion and connection. The thing that makes the universe work, that perfect, astonishing, expansive love. In religious science, I'm all over the place, Buddha, Jesus, religious science, I'll go there. Maybe I'll even throw in some physics before I'm done here in a minute or two. But I will just say, in religious science, you know, the founder of religious science, which is a lot of what you hear on this show, which is religious science, is, you know, there are two elements, love and law. The universe functions in two ways. You know, there are two aspects to the oneness of the universe, love and law. Love is the thing that gets you there. And how do you get there? You're not feeling it all the time. Stop. Exactly what Alan said. You're doing your business. You're living your life. You're cleaning your house. You're running errands. You're doing whatever you're doing. Stop if you need to. Actually, and we all need to. There's no if you need to. Stop and pause and let that still small voice, which is connected at all times, you cannot be disconnected from it. That's why I say to you, you are not bad people becoming good. You're always connected. You are great, amazing people who are remembering that you are great, amazing people. That's all you're doing here. You're remembering. Totally different dynamic than, ooh, I was a bad kid. I shouldn't have had that cheese, or I shouldn't have yelled at that person, or I'm an original sin, blah, blah, blah. None of that's true. You are a person remembering who you actually are, which is an expression of the one perfect God. The one perfect creator, an expression of the perfect creation. That's who you are. Stop. You just got to remind yourself of that. Put it on your list of things to do. That's how I do it. I would like to say I'm St. Francis of Assisi, and I just hang out with the animals, and I'm always connected to God, and the animals talk to me because I'm so very connected to God. But I'm not St. Francis of Assisi. I'm John Warren, who lives in a big city, who gets aggravated and has another job in a business that is annoying on more than one occasion. And, you know, I'm frustrated and I'm trying to lose weight and all that other stuff. And you know what? You pause and you plug back in to that source and say, I'm now connected again, and spend long enough. We live in time. So let's say 5 minutes. We are in time. Time doesn't really exist, but we're in it right now. Spend 5 minutes. And I promise you, if you sit with the God of your understanding for 5 to 7 minutes every day, there will come a time very quickly when you will get at least, if not an overwhelming sense of what the love that we're talking about, you'll get an inkling of it. You'll start to feel grateful for the cardboard box and the you know, and the tree outside your window. And that's what we're talking about here. And once you get into that state, practice it. Keep doing it. And when you are there, and when you focus on something you want to manifest from that state, you will either very quickly get to that manifestation or very quickly get to a place of peace and understanding about why it's not the right thing for you. Because the universe knows better. And it really does. Now, and I mean peace and understanding, you will not get to a place of frustration if it doesn't happen. You'll get to a peace, oh, this is going to happen when God deems it. You'll get there. I promise you, you'll get there. But love is the fuel. It's the accelerant. You know, when your kids and your father would make a barbecue and you put the coals in and then you spray the barbecue, that's what the love is there. It's making the fire happen. It's a terrible analogy. I withdraw it. The point being, though, is that, you know, stay in that connection, stay in that love. And I'd love to talk about romantic love in a different – I think it's a totally different thing. I think it's a really valuable commodity. I think it's a version of this love. I think falling in love, that very specific state, is one of the most powerfully creative things that a human being can do. I have done it twice, and I cannot recommend it enough. Having said that, I think it's tangibly different from this version of love that we are talking about, which is to say, I'll end on this, though, fall in love with the memory, the knowledge, fall in love with this. Listen to the music of your love. listen to the music of the God of your understanding and fall in love with it and stay connected. The more you are consciously connected to the God of your understanding, whatever that is, the more powerfully you will love forward. And I'm just going to put that phrase out there, love forward to whatever your next adventure and your journey is, whether it's a new house or a new lover or losing 30 pounds, whatever that is. Stay connected to the God of your understanding. End of rant. Oh, my goodness, Ellen. I got going even though I was thrown.
That was great. Love one another. Wear a mask. Wash your hands. Next week's show is fabulous news.
Hmm.